The Guardian.
There's a sense of excitement here at CERN, the European Particle Physics Laboratory on the outskirts of Geneva. Today, after nearly a decade of building, scientists will finally try out their new toy, the $10 billion Large Hadron Collider, the largest, most complex machine ever built. It lies 100 meters beneath my feet, and its job is to unravel some of the most enduring mysteries of the universe. Lynn Evans is the project manager for the Large Hadron Collider.
I think that the first study I made of the LHC was, in fact, in 1983. But it was only in 1993 that the project was ripe to present to the Council of CERN for approval, where I became the project leader, and the project was approved in 1994. And it's been 14 years in the design, prototyping, and the construction.
You've put it into a tunnel that existed. What were the kind of challenges you faced, though? How hard was this to actually build?
That was one of the constraints, I think, to put the LHC with the highest possible energy into a tunnel which is very small. It's 3.8 meters in diameter. It needed a lot of innovation. For example, if you want to get a high energy in a tunnel with a fixed circumference, then you have to put the guiding magnetic field must be as high as possible. So a huge challenge in building superconducting magnets that are at least 60% more powerful than ever been built before. Also, the structure of these magnets had to be very compact in order for them to fit into the tunnel and still allow transport of equipment past them. So it resulted in a very compact structure where the two beams, because there are two beams in the LHC, are inside a single cryostat, we call it, the vessel that contains them. And not only has that been very successful in its implementation, but it's also saved a considerable amount of money. At least 20% of the project cost was saved by using this compact structure instead of two separate rings.
It's been a mammoth engineering task. I mean, some of the caverns for the detectors are phenomenally huge. I remember coming here years ago and seeing the size of those. I mean, it just seems an extraordinary task from the outside.
I think everything is extraordinary. As you say, the caverns are huge. They've been the Atlas cavern is the biggest ever been built in these kind of structures. CMS was a nightmare because the geology in that region, there are underground rivers which we knew about, but we didn't realize the force of the water flow. And in fact, the only way we could excavate CMS was to freeze the ground and make an ice wall about 40 meters deep and excavate inside that ice wall.
How are you and the team feeling now the time has come to start putting the LHC through its paces?
Well, I've said it before. I feel as if we are ending a marathon with a sprint. I think that the pressure the pressure has always been high in the LHC, but over the last year, and especially over the last few months, to meet the deadline has been enormous. But we're all still on our feet, and we're really looking forward now to bringing the machine into operation.
Just take us through what you'll be doing throughout the day, and then how that will just feed in briefly with the coming weeks and months when you start doing the first collisions.
The first thing to do is to inject the beam. The beam comes from the tandem of old accelerators at CERN. The beam is injected at 450 GeV, giga electron volts. And the first job will be to make the very first turn to get the beam around the 27-kilometer circumference. The vacuum chamber in which the beam is small. It's about the size of a 50p coin. So threading the beam around for the first time will be the major occupation of the day. If we get that far, I will be very pleased.
And in the next coming weeks, what will you be doing? You don't just do this and switch off. You do this, and then there is a lot more to come.
No, I think we are in there now. We will be 24/7 until December when we will switch off for maintenance and repairs, etc. The sequence of bringing a thing like this to life is is complex. I think once we have the beam circulating, then we have to accelerate it. We have to put the second beam in and do the same thing. And finally, we will have to bring them into collision in the detectors. I don't know how long it's going to take. I think that nobody's ever built a machine like the LHC, but we've built machines in the past, and my estimate is it's going to take a month to 6 weeks for us to get up to the top energy. I hope I'm right.
$10 billion is a lot of money to spend on one machine. How do you think the LHC is going to justify its price tag?
Well, $10 billion is for a scientific. I mean, this wonderful scientific apparatus is not such a big price tag. I don't know how it compares with the Hubble telescope, for instance, of which it is truly comparable. I mean, Hubble is looking out to outer space; we are looking to inner space. It's considerably cheaper than the Beijing Olympics. Now, the scientific program of the LHC is involving scientists from all around the world. I think it is truly a world machine. The whole price tag has not been taken by the CERN member states. There have also been substantial contributions from many other countries in the world. It's a unique machine, and it will certainly advance the knowledge of mankind. Now, having said that, I think we also know that pushing technology to the limit, as we do, always has spin-offs. And I think one of the most famous spin-offs of CERN was the World Wide Web, which was from a previous machine. It was invented because of the need of scientists all over the world to communicate with each other in a more sophisticated way than just email. And I honestly believe that in that way CERN has profoundly changed society. I think that the way that society works, the hope of getting some education into the third world, in Africa in particular, is probably the only hope. Now, the LHC, we do not know what it will bring apart from the wonderful science that will come out of it. We will see, but we are already working on a much, much more powerful infrastructure like the World Wide Web, which will allow scientists to handle the massive data that's coming out of the machine. This is called the grid, and it is also already showing a lot of interest in other disciplines. We are very computer literate. Other disciplines are not, but where we lead, generally the others will follow.
When do you think you might see the first signs of any new physics, or is that an impossibility to comment on?
No, I think it'll, straight away it will be new physics, because it's a new energy regime, and certainly there will be results, not the ground-shaking results we expect after a certain amount of time, but already quite early in the program. Not this year, but certainly next year, we should get first indications of one of the great mysteries, is the origin of dark matter. We will see that if some of these theories are correct already. Now, the famous Higgs boson, the God particle, as it's unfortunately called, this will take a while longer, and I think it's probably a couple of years before we see the Higgs out of the enormous background.
The media has been getting very excited about his various end-of-the-world scenarios with this. How does it feel to you when you read that kind of coverage after spending so much time on this and effort on this project?
Well, these end-of-the-world scenarios originate in a small band of people who have been explained many times. It's not the first time that they've brought up these arguments for previous machines. They keep coming back. We keep explaining to them. These kind of people you will never convince anyway. Quite frankly, I think that the media coverage has been quite balanced. It is not all doom and gloom. I think that I've seen articles which, even in the very popularist press, that give a rational view of things. Altogether, I wonder if the LHC would have had anything like the exposure that it's got without this this coverage, and quite frankly, I think it's for the good. It's known in the UK and all over Europe, actually. It's known that there is a dearth of scientists at the moment. I think the UK government is very well aware of that. And bringing young people into science is something that is really necessary. Industry is telling them that there are not enough trained scientists going into industry. Now, something like this will certainly excite the imagination of the young people. And I can hope that as a consequence of all this exposure, we can hope that we can get convince the young people of the great interest in following a scientific career.
That was Lynn Evans, project manager of the Large Hadron Collider. One of the things scientists hope the machine will discover is the Higgs boson, a particle that is thought to explain the origin of mass in the universe. The particle is named after the Scottish physicist Peter Higgs, who couldn't make the big switch on, but spoke to our correspondent Severin Carell in Edinburgh.
I think some of the people who have tried to get injunctions to stop the LHC from starting should really know better, because, I mean, the fear which is expressed is that things like mini black holes would be produced. And of course, we all know that black holes gobble up parts of the universe, but those are colossal black holes out in the middle of a galaxy. These are mini black holes, which may be sort of similar in some sense, but they're extremely small and they evaporate quickly. And people, when they think they might produce mini black holes, do computer simulations to find out just what they will do. And it really isn't a problem if you know enough about these things. I got my photograph plastered all over the papers in April after a group of us, including Richard and myself, visited the LHC. At the time of that, they had the open day at CERN, and we were taken around the four detectors and looked at the machine and its tunnel and so on, and had what was for me a fairly exhausting time over a period of 4 days.
What did you think? I mean, were you overawed, chuffed, bemused? How would you describe your emotional state when you saw all this great effort?
I was extremely impressed. First of all, be actually being there in the hall with the detectors and so on, the scale was even more colossal than the impression I'd gained from photographs. So that was one thing. Another thing which impressed me very much was the way in which the things like the detectors and also the machine itself had been put together from components which were manufactured all over the world. And the organisation of this, I thought, was a great achievement. Specifying things precisely enough for these people in all the other countries to follow the instructions and get it right, so that when it all came together, it would all fit. That, I think, is a colossal achievement.
He's asking whether you are a religious man.
No, I'm not. I don't like the description God particle at all, if you're thinking of that. I think it's inappropriate. On theological grounds, apart from anything else. That from a non-religious person.
Were you at home this morning when the broadcast from CERN was coming through?
That was at 8:30, was it? I must have been at home, but I hardly ever listened to the radio anyway, so I wasn't listening. I was too busy getting myself ready to come here, and I probably wasn't even completely awake by then. And normally I'm not completely conscious until after breakfast.
But how would you celebrate if they found the Higgs boson?
Well, I have a bottle of champagne in my wine store already. I haven't moved it into the fridge yet.
Incidentally, he didn't drink it last night for fear that the world would end either.
That was Peter Higgs speaking to our correspondent Severin Carell in Edinburgh. For our interactive guide to the Large Hadron Collider, go to guardian.co.uk/science/CERN.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.